everybody. Welcome to our show. I'm Liz.
And I'm Taylor. This is a podcast for and about the town we love.
And now we're talking Darien.
Hello and welcome. Today is August 28th, and today we have Bill Shufeldt, co-founder and CEO of Athletic Brewing Company, a non-alcoholic beer company.
Yeah, Bill is from Darien. He's one of our own, and he's just moved back here with his family to run one of his two breweries. In the 6 years since it's been up, since 2017, they've gotten a number of accolades, like Time 100 Most Influential List, Inc. 5000, Fastest Growing Private Companies. They're actually number two in NA beers, about to surpass Heineken 0.0, and they've been named multiple times as top 15 craft breweries in the country. Actually, that might be the world, but I'm going to say country just so I'm safe on the safe side here. So we wanted to talk to Bill and hear what it's like for a hometown boy to hit on the big stages of commerce.
Yeah, I am particularly smitten with this episode. I don't know, Liz, if I've ever talked to you about the Finding Your Why podcast that I listened to once. And
you did?
I found out that my why is to have a better way. This is with Gary Sanchez, for anybody who wants to look it up. My why is to find a better way. And I love that Bill found a better way to do non-alcoholic beer. I mean, the authenticity with which he approached this project, the legitimate, passionate interest in doing it better so that he could enjoy it and enjoy a nice beverage with his food, it drove everything else. I mean, finding your target market, the size of the market, the need and all that, and finding backers, that all comes secondary to like the true authentic passion that you need to have to drive a business like this. And he clearly has it. I was so inspired by his story. And I hope everybody else enjoys listening to how he built this from scratch.
Yeah. I mean, the episode definitely moved on more than it went directions more than we thought. So I hope you guys will enjoy this journey, not only of building a company, but redefining the stereotype around drinking and what that means. And before we get you to Bill on the episode, let me just tell you who our sponsor is tonight. We've got Lighthouse Moving. This is a Darien moving company that is founded and operated by two local Darien men who grew up here. These guys are finally the movers you can safely rely on and trust. So they do big to small jobs. They also do white glove service, among many other services like dump drops or heavy item wall mounting or even shelf building. They live down the street from us and they specialize in taking care of Darien's own. So if you have some furniture, or you've been dying to offload, or you're about to upgrade your next home, give these guys a call. Their number is 203-979-3214, or you can email them hunter@lighthousemoving.org. Again, 203-979-3214 or hunter@lighthousemoving.org. All right, now bringing to you Bill Shufeldt, the legend. All right, that's good. Okay. Bill, thank you for joining us on Now We're Talking Darien.
Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you.
I really appreciate it. Taylor knows this, but I have been dying to meet you since when I first opened one of your beers about, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. I salivate even thinking about, I love your beers. Just opened one of these right here, too. We'll have to talk about what I just opened. And since then, I've been a walking spokesman for Athletic Brewing Company. So it's just wonderful to finally have you here and me to get to ask your question, get to ask you questions directly.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm so sorry to let you down.
No. You're everything I imagined and more, Bill, so don't get me wrong. So you are probably one of the most interviewed people we've ever had on our show. There's a ton of media and press out there that you do, which is fantastic. So I don't want to be too repetitive in our content because I think people can get access to a lot of information on their own. So in this interview, in our conversation, I'd like to focus on looking at you through the lens of Darien, right? Because this is a podcast for and about Darien. So with that said, I think the question that's most pressing on my mind is, how does a man from, in my opinion, one of the booziest towns I know, and definitely one of the most sports-crazed towns out there, end up starting a non-alcoholic beer company and then also call it Athletic?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the great ironies of my life. I had never thought about non-alcoholic beer except to make fun of non-alcoholic beer before I was in literally the business of non-alcoholic beer.
Right.
And I guess it just came that authentically out of my lifestyle. I really never, ever had an itch to be an entrepreneur. Didn't have ideas, wasn't overly passionate about anything except my career in finance. And friends and sports. I was just on, I guess you could almost call it like a a very standard Darien path. Like, there's so many successful finance people in town, and those were my examples growing up, and I just defaulted into a finance career.
Right. So you, from Darien High School, yep, played football and baseball?
Just football at Middlebury. I played football, swimming, and baseball at Darien High School.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you went to Middlebury.
Yep.
And you played football there.
Yep.
That's a good success. Okay. That's impressive.
For a few years.
Yep. Okay. That's okay. And then you went to Wall Street.
Yep.
Into finance, like many.
Yep.
Okay. What did you do?
I was an equities trader. So, I love stocks. I kind of fell in love with stocks in college. I had one really good professor who steered me towards like a trading firm. And then I did a few years there, got my CFA, and ultimately went to like one of the best trading hedge funds on Wall Street, SAC Capital, which is also local, which was a great spot. Yep.
And you were, I mean, not to be blunt, but were you like a drinker in your time or a booze bag of any sort? And I can say that, by the way, as I used to be a booze bag myself. So there's no shame in it.
Is that a technical term?
Yeah.
I would say from, basically the moment I started drinking, I probably liked it a little too much in high school. And then I just always had a lot of social energy. I was always the last one to go home. I loved going out with friends. I loved more the occasion around what drinking was. I like didn't have this self-awareness at the time. But in college, I just loved drinking and hanging out with friends and everything that drinking entailed. And that translated into my career too, where I was going out to 3 or 4 work dinners a week, still doing things with friends and family that were around either food or socializing on the weekends. And before I knew it, it had been 12 to 15 years of like pretty solid drinking.
Right. Yep. But see, then this is what, like, so this is part of the fascinating of this conversation, because I find it hard to believe that someone, pardon me, I'm so raspy tonight, how someone can be successful on a long-term basis and still keep up a heavy regimen of drinking. Like, as you age, maybe it's just me, like, I just can't keep up. I can't wake up the same. My mind isn't as clear. My personality isn't clear. I have more anxiety the next day. So I don't understand how you can keep up that regimen. And
yeah. Talk about the inspiration for starting this.
Yeah, I guess that took me till I was about age 29, turning 30, about to get married. And, I think I was doing everything in my life in spite of the drinking, probably. Even if it was only like 1 or 2 drinks most of the time I drank, it was still enough to affect sleep, affect health, affect nutrition, affect recovery from workouts.
Even in a young 20s man, you're still feeling it?
I would have to think so. I wasn't really the pinnacle of fitness for sure in my 20s. But it took like a month off drinking and then accountability from my wife, my colleagues, everyone. I was like, listen, I'm done drinking and I want to see if I can make this stick. And it really didn't take that long for me just to feel incredibly better. It was like the biggest hack I'd ever uncovered. I was sleeping through the night for the first time ever. Could wake up early the next day easily. I was just sharper at work. I had this like intellectual curiosity I feel like I hadn't had since high school come back. I was all of a sudden like reading or watching YouTubes about things that I had kind of turned off in my education 15 years before. So it was just like this switch got turned on for me. In all my workouts, I felt like I wanted to accelerate throughout the workout instead of just survive it. And it was kind of a very clear answer to me at that point that I was going to be done drinking. And I was lucky, like nothing ever came of my drinking career, so to say. Like there was no major event. There were probably a lot of warning signs. I could have wrapped it up a lot earlier than I did. But at the same time, it was just like this healthy new chapter that turned into like much higher performance in my life.
I'd like to take a note, by the way, Taylor, of that stigmatism. Like a lot of people, when someone says you don't drink, they're like, why? What happened?
Yeah.
So you just, what you noted there is actually, one thing
that was crazy was I really struggled with stopping drinking for a while. I knew I probably should have, but it took me really getting encouragement from my wife mainly to just try stopping and have that accountability. And none of my friends cared at all that I wasn't drinking anymore, as long as I was happy. Even my booziest friends, they're still people I spend the most time with. And people just want to see you happy. People want to have people present around them, happy, healthy.
Have you started any kind of movement among your friends because of what you've built?
It's funny, like the lead by example thing was huge. I've definitely had at least probably 10 friends from either college or growing up or career after get sober. And that was really meaningful to me to see people like really turn over a new leaf. So,
well, they see you by example because you just were like more energetic. You looked good. You were like losing weight. Your skin looked good with stuff like that, like physical things, or just like, you just seemed happy.
I think all like, yeah.
You were getting married too.
Happier, healthier. And then it was just kind of a permission thing too. They're like, oh, this like normal guy in my friend group stopped drinking, so I'm going to do it too. And
interesting.
That is actually interesting. Like the social acceptance. Yep. Well, and I go back to that stigmatism. Like, I feel like it's the more stories you hear of someone who's sober just because I just like it. I think that kind of encourages it where you don't have to get sober just because like you have a bad incident or a bad relationship with alcohol. Maybe you just want to wake up and not struggle to get out of bed by 6 a.m.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but that was like the toughest thing for a lot of people is that there were almost no off-ramps. There were no options. There was no example.
Right.
And so it was really hard to all of a sudden just go out to like a barbecue or like a social occasion in town and not have anything in your hand. And that's why I struggled with the most. Cause like that makes like the host feel bad. If you're like standing there kind of itching and like, don't really know what to drink. And that's like the number one thing of athletic is like, we wanted for the first time for like those moderation off ramps to be cool, aspirational, totally socially acceptable, where people would hold the beer with the label out in their hand and be like, actually you should check this out. It's not like something that previously people would try to get a non-alcoholic beer
in a
glass as soon as they can and throw it out.
Yeah. Well, it'd also be printed across it, non-alcoholic, and beg the question, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Or it was an O'Doul's.
So it's one thing, though, to go sober and say, you know, I feel better and I'm happy to not drink because then maybe you're comfortable drinking a seltzer or something different. But how do you get from there to starting your own company?
Yeah. Well, I will say I was super lucky to have such a strong support system of my wife, my family, my friends, my colleagues. One thing I did at work, like I was so close with my colleagues that I told my colleagues I was stopping drinking. And I was like, hey.
And you were still at SAC?
Yep. And actually the guy next to me, who was my boss, was like, that's great. I think it'll be so much healthier. Do you want to like come to these workouts with us? The guy two over, who was like the number three in the firm, was like, oh, you should talk to these couple guys who are all hugely respected in the room. They're like, you know, none of them drink. And then it was amazing that like when I stopped drinking, I all of a sudden realized that like, wow, 50%+ of people barely ever drink alcohol. It's like,
really?
Well, or like people drink like very specific windows during the week. And like, yeah, it's something like 60% of Americans have 0.1 drinks or less per week.
Really?
Yeah. Wait, repeat that statistic one more time.
Yeah, 60% of Americans have 0.1 drinks or less per week. And it's something like 38% never drink.
Yeah.
And that's all above the age of 21 or that's the whole population? Yeah. Okay.
Did you know that statistic before you started your company or did you research that and then think there might be something here?
Well, I was like out at all the things I love to do, work dinners, barbecues, whatever. And I love food and beer. I'd gone to college in Vermont where a lot of the pioneering craft breweries were around. And so I'd fallen in love with beer. I loved it anyway, but I loved me and my wife love getting like just awesome dinners or like dinner with family and friends. And like that all comes with drinks. And very often a drink is equally as important as the food mm-hmm. in terms of like the experience and how you reflect on your meal. And it was such a hole in all those experiences to like go to like a really nice Italian dinner and have like a soda with it. It like ruins the dinner.
Yeah.
And that was actually the moment me and my wife were on vacation and we were walking to the nicest dinner of the vacation. And I was just complaining the whole way to the dinner being like, this dinner is going to be great, but it's going to be absolutely garbage because I'm going to drink a like 75 gram of sugar pina colada with it.
Right.
And I was like, someone should just fix this. And she like, and I was just like muttering under my breath and like complaining. And I had no idea I had an idea. And my wife stopped me in my tracks and like hit my shoulder so hard. And she was like, you should do that. And I was like, what do you mean? And it was basically like her recognizing the idea in me.
That you could do that.
That's so cool. Yeah.
And it was like she had seen the impact on my health and everything. And then we just started to like research it immediately on that vacation.
Wow.
And the wheels started spinning.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But at the same time, I realized I had this business plan that I worked on for 2 years. But I'd literally told a friend that there's like a 10% chance I ever do anything with it. Even though it's this huge economic opportunity, because I already had this huge economic opportunity over here that was my finance job. Mm-hmm. And so it was like kind of one economic opportunity for another. But then my wife again sat me down. This was 2 years into business planning. And she's like, I don't want to know you in 10 years if you've done absolutely nothing with this idea. She's like, it's incredible. Wow. You care about it so much more. And she basically said, I think the dot you're not connecting is that this impact you had on your own life, your own health, everything, you could have on tens of millions of people if you make moderation cool. And at that point, I'd realized that there's like 15 million documented alcoholics in the US, and probably many more multiples undocumented. Plus, alcohol is the leading cause of death for people under age 50. It's one in every five deaths.
Wow.
And so there are all these stats. And it was at that point, after we had that conversation, I realized like the impact it could have of like tens of millions of people, the health of the country. And the wheels were just spinning, and I literally couldn't sleep for 2 days and walked in on January 2nd and quit my job after that.
January 2nd, what year?
2017.
Okay.
Did SAC seed you? They probably loved the idea.
No, a lot of friends and colleagues from around there did, though. We have an amazing investor group of like 70 angel investors that a lot are in this area, so...
Oh, I want to get to all that too, but I wish your wife was here. We should have invited her. What a big role she played.
Yeah. How long have you known her for?
22 years.
High school. You guys went to high school together. Mm-hmm. Is she your high school sweetheart?
We met right at the end of high school.
High school hookup.
So we went to college separately, but like stayed together through college and visited each other.
Where did she go to school?
She went to Davidson.
And is she working now?
She's not. She's a homemaker.
That's awesome.
She's the one. She's the brains behind the operation.
Clearly. Here. And you really got one child?
Yep. A two-year-old son.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I was going to ask, this is like, this is what I think is cool about your wife. So you have to give me like a little preview into some of the finance behind this, because how can you, your wife encouraged you to do this when you're at the time, were you the sole breadwinner? Or was she working? Like so how did you guys make that? When was that cutting point where you knew you had enough runway to jump on your dream?
And when was that vacation? Let's put the timeline together.
That was the end of 2014. Okay. So we had just gotten married. This was 6 months after we got married. We were in Jamaica, just on like a Christmas vacation. And for the next 2 years after that, I did business planning and had basically like fallen back in love with science and like read every brewing textbook there was, did so much. She was in business school at Columbia at the time, so it was like a super receptive time for her to be talking about an idea too. And she had all these analytics and surveying tools I could get access to also. So like the business planning period of those 2 years was incredibly fun for us.
Okay. So then get me to that, how you built up that runway to take off.
Yeah. We, at that point, we basically just agreed, and it was more her call because she would have to make more sacrifices than I would. And we basically agreed that we had a 3-year budget that we could live off of. And we'd either, the idea would be taking off at that time, or it would not be taking off. And I'd just rejoin the financial world somewhere.
And in that, and during that time, you met John Walker, which, by the way, I got to laugh at. John Walker, Johnny Walker. I cannot believe that's your partner. Does people not joke about his name?
There had been literally hundreds of resumes and no's and people who had just basically hung up on me at that point. And this name came in, and he had just won so many awards in the craft brewing world. And I was like, this has to be the one.
This guy has the name alone. Like, even if he's not the one, I'm hiring him for something.
So you were interviewing for a partner?
Yep.
Is he your like an equal partner?
We're co-founders. Yep.
Okay.
So, I left. Yeah. One of the biggest hedge funds in the world at the time, where I had 300 brokers who were all talented people covering me and picking up my phone on the first ring when I called, to go into a world where no one in the world cared about non-alcoholic beer. I can't even begin to tell you how empty and unreturned my phone calls went.
Oh, yeah.
But wait, not only that, I feel like everyone in every interview I heard you give, not only people were not interested, people warned you to stay away from it.
Yep.
Correct?
Yeah.
And why? What was the research in their minds that gave you that they would give that advice?
It's kind of people just point at the absence of something means it's like people tend to extrapolate trends forever in whatever direction they're going. And it's why people invest tons of money at the top of bull markets. It's why no one invests money at the bottom of the stock market. And people just think because no one's asking for it in the present moment, like no one's ever going to ask for it. It's like,
you've referred to it as a penalty box.
Yeah. And it was that. It was kind of what we were talking about before, that any time you had a non-alcoholic beer in your hand, there was something wrong with you, or it was a lesser than product. It was a total sacrifice. And we really wanted to change that.
So if I hear you correctly, your mission here in making a successful company is twofold. It one was getting rid of the stigmatism that a non-alcoholic beer was like socially bad. But then secondly, it was also creating a beer that was actually good to taste, right?
Yep.
Which we haven't really gotten into, because I think what I've read is like the only other thing out there before Athletic hit the market, you know, in 2017 wasn't O'Doul's the leading?
It was about 45% share of the U.S. non-alcoholic beer market at the time.
Do you remember O'Doul's, Taylor?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I was trying to order beer from all around the world. So I realized when I stopped drinking, I was like, oh, well, Germany has a big non-alcoholic beer market. I'll order some of those. And they were just like the U.S. options, just less popular, just more popular over there. And so it just didn't really exist anywhere in the world in a great, exciting package.
Huh.
If I can just interrupt for a quick second, I want to take a very brief break to say thank you again to our sponsor, Lighthouse Moving. I love that we have our own local moving company and that we don't have to call any big national brand to take care of our most personal needs. I know you can trust these guys. Personal experience. I've used them. They'll give you an honest rate and handle your things with the best of care. Give them a call for your next job. That's the beauty of knowing someone local. You can contact Hunter@lighthousemoving.org or 203-979-3214. And promise it was brief. We're getting back to it. We're with Bill Schufelt today, the founder and CEO of Athletic Brewing Company. And we were just reviewing how awful the non-alcoholic options were in the marketplace. And so let's get back to how exactly you fixed that. Tell us about your process.
Yeah, so I'd never brewed beer before. I'd read these textbooks and had this like delusional confidence that we could if we just focused on it and tried. And that was kind of like the first principles approach to our, it, no one was working on the product quality of non-alcoholic beer. And so they were all using these antiquated technologies that had been used basically since Prohibition to make non-alcoholic beer. And so non-alcoholic beer had a very tough historical start in Prohibition also. And I was like, why don't people just make this in a different way and pay attention to the quality and do it in a softer, more delicate way? So beer is very much like winemaking. It's a nuanced fermented beverage. And if you treat it delicately, the ingredients are amazing. And
it's like a woman. I've said this before.
Oh, jeez. But I'm hoping you can tackle wine next. Let me know.
There are non-alcoholic wines out there. They're not yet.
They're getting better and better. Yeah.
Really? I didn't even know that.
A really great non-alcoholic tequila. That Ritual makes a great one. I love Ritual stuff.
Mm-hmm. Ritual is a great company. I was talking to their founder like 3 hours ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Look at you. You're so cool. I'm drinking, by the way, you're Closer by the Mile. This is a special beer of yours right now?
Yep. So that's a cancer-fighting collaboration we do every year with the Pan Mass Challenge, which is the largest cancer fundraising charity out there. But yeah,
love the artwork on the can.
It's like a 100-mile bike ride in Massachusetts that we do a collaboration beer with every year.
How many cans do you make?
I'm not sure. Thousands of cases for sure. Yeah, it's all over New England, but it goes fast. It's one of our most popular beers we make.
It's a red can with an aqua A on it, white letters.
But I'm with you. It's a great artwork. All their cans are really good looking. Yeah. You want to show them off, to your point, when you're out.
Definitely. And so going back to the quality and the taste, like you clearly come up with a better process. And it was all you. Was it a partnership with John? Was he bringing some magic to that process?
I had this delusional confidence that I had an idea how to do it. And the second I met John and we started brewing together, I knew absolutely nothing about anything. But he is the most talented, and like the amount both of us have grown with the business is big. We're both really passionate learners, but John is just so talented.
Well, you guys have done a great, great job. I mean, this tastes amazing. And you also have seltzers, right? So I'm drinking a called Day Pack. It's not called Athletic.
Yeah. So that's...
Tell us about that, because I didn't know what hops were, honestly.
Yeah. Day Pack, think of it as just like a premium seltzer. So like just like a nice sparkling water that's lightly fruited, lightly hopped. Originally, we were just making it with leftover ingredients in the brewery and canning it for our team to drink. We're like, oh, this will be fun. Like, let's make it and can it and see if we like it. And the team was drinking so much of it, and we were giving it to people in the tap room. And all of a sudden, people were like, can we buy more of this? And it just kind of like got out the door on its own.
That's really neat. And so, go ahead.
No.
You've had like, you know, the J curve of success, right? When did it really take off? What was there any moment that was like a catalyst for you guys to just hit the, you know, explode?
I I knew intuitively, because it was like such a big need in my own life. And I could tell immediately when I started talking about it with friends and family, no matter how much they drank, that they like totally got it in a way. And I just knew from the start in my mind, delusionally probably, that it was going to be that big. But I would say the moment commercially we knew it was big was, so in summer of, call it 2018, we literally could not get business relationships going with like anyone. We were just opening our doors, but we started to make deliveries. But then summer 2019, we had what we thought was a huge brewery that we had built in Stratford, Connecticut, the first non-alcoholic beer brewery in the country. And all of our retailers and distributors had under-forecasted so much for that summer that we immediately outsold our entire brewery, basically. And yeah, it was like we were just so out of stock that people were meeting our distributor trucks in the parking lots of like Whole Foods and Wegmans and everything. And like the beer wasn't even making to the shelf. And all these people who'd basically been making fun of us 12 months before were now like screaming for more supply.
Wow.
And so we went looking for a bigger brewery at that time.
And you've had some celebrity support too, right?
That definitely really helped. I'm not sure necessarily in terms of like just like these break the website moments, but in terms of like the destigmatizing and the cool factor,
yeah,
it is very hard to make fun of non-alcoholic beer when people like J.J. Watt and Lance Armstrong and David Chang, and there were a number of like high profile Ironman racers like Ben Hoffman, like being very public about their drinking of Athletic. And so,
and you actually didn't hear this, that you got the professional lacrosse league, men's lacrosse league, that, to be the sponsor of Athletic. Is that correct?
Yep.
Is that still a partnership?
Yeah, we were one of their first sponsors actually when they started, and they invested in us also. So they launched in like the COVID period, and they had a bubble tournament to kick off their league basically. And Athletic was one of the lead sponsors of that tournament. And then we've been a sponsor ever since, but they're great people.
See, that's cool. I mean, talk about the Lax Bro, Frey, everyone thinks that there's like an image that goes with that. But I mean, if those guys drink Athletic, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's kind of the common thing of, so the word sober is like so outdated. Most people are sober most of the time, but most people drink at other times too. And I think in this high performance lifestyle, a common theme we've seen from so many of our athletes is they drink Athletic most of the time, and then there's some alcohol occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just the evolution of a societal habit that's, you know,
that
been
be
evolving for
evolution.
5,000 years. You know, it's people have been drinking socially when they relax for like 5,000 years. But at some point in the modern life, when we all got phones in our pockets and life got so busy, those 6 or 7 day a week relaxing moments got whittled down to like Friday happy hour or like one dinner a week because life's just too busy for it otherwise. And this is kind of a way to get it back, like to like 7 days a week. You can have your beer every day, or you can go out to dinner on weeknights and have something good. So,
see, that's interesting because before I was coming here, I was talking to my husband about this, and we were saying, I'm going to get my question I'm going to get to, by the way, is your target audience with this long-winded thing. But my husband and I were talking before this about our parents' generation and grandparents, how they would probably, you know, die thinking of drinking a non-alcoholic drink, like especially the grandparents. Like that was just, it comes to your idea of like how time, the way we use our time has kind of shifted away from it. And then what brings me to, I also read something that a statistic you gave to where the majority of people over 45 were the majority of, just, can you tell me that statistic?
Yeah, the category when we entered the category was 75% over age 45. And now it's 75% under age 45.
Are interested in non-alcoholic beers. Okay, so that shifted. Okay, that kind of goes against my point. So the older generation had stopped drinking. Younger people used to be drinking, and now it's swapped. Younger people don't want to drink as much.
Yeah, it's still that plenty of the original cohort still drink. It's just so many of the younger generation are drinking less alcohol in most occasions.
Okay, so that goes, so who are you targeting your audience to? Are you reading statistics like that and then aiming for a younger audience? And I have to wonder if like you play your high school years and the way you spent times partying, if that came into play of how you're going to market this from the beginning.
Yeah, what some of the anecdotal breadcrumbs that I've picked up that have been most encouraging to me is when I like ask people, what is in college coolers these days? Like, what do you see when you go to like a graduation party or something like that? And when I hear that there is Athletic in those coolers, sometimes at least.
You've made it.
It's like, I'm like, okay. We're not like,
oh, that's cool. Yeah. But that could be a distribution thing though. Are you guys everywhere? Like if I'm in Iowa, can I get your beer at like a Iowa State?
So we are in all 50 states as of last Labor Day, but our distribution is still super thin. So most beer brands are in like 90%+ of outlets. Most of our products in most states are still around like 10% distribution. So in some states where we've got really good distribution for like 5 years now, we're up to like 40% for like one brand. But like once you go down to our like second and third SKU, it drops off really fast.
Are people calling you or are you calling people? Are people calling you saying we want your beer? We've got people have been asking, or are you still having to go out there and send salespeople to pitch your beer?
All the above, really. I mean, we love being out there pitching our beer too. I'm on the road like all the time.
How big is the company now?
About 250 people.
Okay. And revenue?
Not public as a private company. Oh, okay. But sorry. Yeah, we were like number 26 on the Inc. 5000 last year, and back in the top 5% of the Inc. 5000 this year.
That's amazing. Can you keep up with the demand, or are you still like trying to catch up?
Yep. So we brought on our new Milford brewery. So we've got breweries in Milford, Connecticut, and San Diego, California now. We bought the San Diego brewery from Ballast Point in 2020. That was like a immediate, like, we need to scale up fast move. And then in the meantime, we built a much bigger brewery in Connecticut, too, to balance out the production. The new brewery in Milford, Connecticut's about 50 times the size of that original Stratford brewery.
Holy cow.
And every tank in the building was full within a year of us bringing it online. So we are doing a $15 million expansion of that brewery this fall. So it's online for next
year. You're already
expanding
it?
Yeah, just 1 year. Yeah. That's but it's, our team is so incredible at construction and that type of planning now. That's John running that whole operation. So.
Johnny. Yep. Johnny Walker.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. I have to wonder, by the way, why are you in California and Connecticut? I mean, two of the worst tax states.
Perfect example of not knowing anything about anything. But the Connecticut business environment is actually very good. The state is unbelievable to work with. When we were launching, they made a big exception to let us into this like tech and biotech angel investor fund. So all our angel investors got great tax credits in year one. And they've been helpful since. They're contributing to this new expansion to the state. So they're really like, they realize they've got a nice company that's providing hundreds of jobs in the state, and they just are continuing to back us and support us. And so Connecticut's great.
Wow. That's what brought you home.
Not saying much about the other coast. Yeah. But
that's okay. It's not about California here.
But the people we hired in taking over that brewery in California and the people available in the area were incredibly talented. So that does balance out a lot of it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you just won an award, right? The Craft Brewery Award. Now, was that like you against alcoholic beers and you won?
So, yeah, we've won a few of those. We were a couple different outlets in consecutive years named us Craft Brewery of the Year. So, we were a few years ago, we were basically like the smallest of the 9,000 brewers in the country. And now we're top 15. I think we're like 12th biggest right now.
Wow.
That's alcoholic and non-alcoholic. Yep. Just beer, right?
Yep.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, there's obviously some very big craft brewers still out on the road ahead of us that we look up to, like Sierra Nevada, Boston Beer, Yingling.
They count as craft brewers?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Not that many ahead of us anymore, though.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so what does your distribution look like? Are you in restaurants? You're obviously at Whole Foods. I just got some there today.
Yeah, all of the above. Whole Foods is an incredible customer of ours.
Don't get me started.
Well, where else can I get it in Darien? Well, sorry.
A story about Whole Foods. So Whole Foods taking a leap on it. So even going back to the beginning. So John lived in New Mexico.
Yes.
He had a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old, and he picked up and moved his family across the country to homebrew on Gatorade jugs. And so this was that his move was arguably like crazier than mine.
What do you mean homebrew on Gatorade jugs?
Like in his garage, right? Gatorade jugs.
You have pictures.
Yeah, we were doing his garage and this empty warehouse that I'd rented basically with all my savings. But yeah, that was our setup.
Oh my God, I love it. Literally like the Gatorade thing you dump on the football coach's head.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we basically had three rows of Gatorade jugs stacked on top of each other like you would have at like a summer like practice for a sport.
Yeah.
And we didn't know each other at all. We spent 9 hours a day around those jugs just talking and getting to know each other and trying to brew non-alcoholic beer. And we would can it in these little glass bottles also. And then I would drive it all over New England. And I'd like text my wife and say, you know, I'll be back in 6 hours. I'm driving to Massachusetts for this meeting, or I'm driving to like Western New York State. I'll be back tomorrow. but credit to Whole Foods. I went in locally to Whole Foods and they were like, this is awesome. I'm actually going to email regional in New Jersey and think you should just drive down there. And so like 2 days later, I drove to regional Whole Foods in New Jersey. And the guy who I'm still close with was basically like, we've been waiting for this. He's like, how soon can you get this in cans? And to Whole Foods' credit, like they are a big company, but still super small these days. And they've been one of our best supporters. And
oh, that's great.
Locally in Darien, the Whole Foods is an absolute beast of an account. It is like, in terms of like per capita sales of all our accounts nationally, it's got to be one of our top.
I was impressed really? With the selection.
Yeah.
Wow, that's good to know. To all the there's 7 Darien liquor stores in the small radius here. 20,000 people, half those people, probably like 10,000 of those are kids. You got 10,000 people being served by 7 liquor stores. do all of them by chance carry Athletic? Have you made sure that's a fact?
I think so. I've stopped in at most of them, which I was like pretty familiar from growing up here and just like going through the cycle of like which one's taking my fake ID this week. Right. But credit to like all the local merchants and the Palmer family and Whole Foods and everyone giving us a chance. It was like such strong local support. And I really think the Darien community just like this product is one of our own and we're going to goose the results of it. Cause
yeah.
Awesome. Either that or it's like my aunt just buying hundreds of cases yes. at Whole Foods every month.
Which might be the case.
She hasn't let me into her garage recently. Yeah.
And also the country clubs too. I hope like, you know, Weburn and Darien Country Club and everybody, I hope they all pick it up as well.
They are for sure.
Yeah. So that's very neat.
The other thing we haven't talked about real quick was, I mean, I was impressed actually with the price point, which is not excessive. And talk about the nutritional value. Like, I love the fact that this is so low cal. And you said it's actually good for you? Like, the nutritionals are good?
Yeah. So we're huge believers in just like letting the ingredients speak in their true form. And John grew up in a culinary household. His dad had started farm-to-table restaurants back in like the 70s and 80s. And so John is an amazing chef as well as brewer. One thing people don't really know about ethanol is basically for every 1% ABV in a beer, there's basically 20 empty ethanol calories. So 20 calories per 1%. So if you're drinking a 95 to 110 calorie light beer, where most of them are, it's probably over 80 just like calories from alcohol. So if you take that out, we have a very low floor we're working with where we can really have like nice malt and hops and everything. So even our flagship IPA, Run Wild, 65 calories.
That's the highest calorie of them all, right?
The IPA? One of them, yeah. Our Freewave Hazy IPA is 70 calories, so still lighter than the lightest light beers.
Yeah.
And then our Athletic Light's 25 calories, so it's basically like free calories.
And for the gluten-free lovers like me, there's an almost gluten-free one that's like 45, right?
Upside Down, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was our second beer we launched. It's just clean, crisp, delicious,
guilt-free.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, it's, they're all intended to just be like it, all of them are below like the lightest of the light beers and calories. So it's,
yeah. Well, thank you for that. That's awesome. And yeah, are there any calories in the seltzer at all?
Nope. That's totally zero nutritional.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen those, by the way, sold. I gotta make sure I'm either coming to your house soon or going to Whole Foods. Don't make me go to Whole Foods.
Yeah, Whole Foods and Total Wine for sure. And then a lot of independent liquor stores around too. But it'll be more available soon.
Check on Sipsters or Leary's again. Hey, I also want to ask you, I want to talk about the name. But before that, you guys do some great partnerships. And I want to know, like, how do you, like, if someone like is thinking, like this guy, I'm hoping there are people from Darien that have the dream to start businesses as well. And they're trying to, they're kind of hearing your story and someone just like them growing up. So I want to know, like, as part of that, like, you guys have built up an empire of partnerships too, collaborations. And I want to know who's behind that. Has that always been part of your mission?
Well, on the first point, I actually didn't have to look far to get good inspiration and guidance on entrepreneurs from Darien. There's like a long line of entrepreneurs from Darien who've started great businesses. I think like the first within like my age range, but like very visible to me growing up was Kelly Flatley and Bare Naked. So Kelly Flatley, Brendan, Chris Mears, Alyssa, that crew started Bare Naked basically out of the Flatley's kitchen when we were growing up.
The granola company, right?
Yep. Yeah, and then sold for what we all thought was an enormous amount of money
at
like the end of high school. And then,
so did she help you?
She was really nice when I first reached out. And then, And things she said were like very true. It's like, make sure you love like doing, you love this business enough that you'll be doing that counting on a Friday night when everyone else is doing whatever they want to do. And so some great talking points like that. Christy Holmes started Quinn Pretzels. She was 2 years older than me from Darien. And then there's definitely other entrepreneurs around too.
Yeah.
One who's a year older than me who went to Middlebury with me as well. Is starting a really impressive tech company out of the Bay Area, Charlie Howe. So,
wow.
Yeah, but along, you're on something I really cared about too. Yeah, I mean, what words of wisdom and advice do you have for people kind of in that early stage?
Mostly just make sure you are so passionate about it that you can't possibly turn it off, because it is just so tough. And like every bit of starting a business is way harder than you think. But at the same time, more interesting also. You learn so much. You meet so many interesting people. And you really don't have to be that persistent that long to stand out. Kind of like in everything, I feel like, in this world is, you know, most people give up within 3 days of something or some incredibly short amount of time. So if you go a few weeks, you're probably in the top like 10% already. And then just keep going longer. And if you feel like you're failing, just go a little longer. And like an idea is going to hit you on a run that changes the whole outlook on everything. And I can't tell you how many moments like that I've had.
Wow.
So you still work out a lot?
I try to every day. Yeah. It is the nice thing about being an entrepreneur that my schedule's incredibly flexible and inflexible. But like today I had like a 40-minute break between calls and just threw my son in the jogging stroller and went out for a half hour.
That's the beauty of it. That's the dream, living the dream. Yeah. Let me go back to it. And how do you how do you pick your partners to collaborate with? Like, I know you did Netflix. I don't know the show that, but Netflix, JetBlue, genius.
Yeah, it's all.
Is that you? Is that one of your, do you have a partner, like a marketing CMO that's setting that up, or?
Yeah, it's all, I mean, honestly, a lot of it is pretty authentic out of our teammates' lifestyles or connections. Actually, a woman from Darien named Kristen oversees all our partnerships. Mm. So. Coincidentally from Darien, but does an amazing job running our partnerships, our collaborations, like with Super Coffee, Laird Hamilton's brand, JetBlue, Whoop. I was just a big fan of Whoop.
What's Whoop?
The fitness bands, like the
IT
trackers on your wrist, that basically great sleep trackers. So.
Okay.
That's great. Whoop, it's not Woof from The Office. Remember that? Did you ever watch The Office?
Ryan goes, I love Woof. The Office.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's relevant anywhere you go, in any conversation, by the way.
Well, you're doing good all over the place here. You're donating 3% of sales, I read?
Yeah, so 2%. So we have a number of different charitable programs. The core one is our Two for the Trails program. So that's essentially a $2 million per year environmental grant that the goal is to improve outdoor access for generations to come. It's really, I wanted to hard code some sort of good in the company from the beginning. And I've always loved the outdoors, and we all obviously have like worries about the planet and just like want to make sure it outdoors is such a healthy part of just like mindfulness and fitness and everything. And so our goal is to try to make a big impact on making sure it's here for years to come. And so last year we made 106 donations across 38 states through our Two for the Trails program.
Oh, wow.
And it's like $5,000 here, 10 there. You know, we donate to like the Aspetuck Land Trust, the Mayanis River, the Norwalk. I forget the trail from the coast that goes up like 30 miles. But we've donated all over the area and all over the country. And it's a grant program. So people apply for it. And then as a team, we grade the applications and give it to the most useful and productive recipients. But we've done things all over the country through that. Like there was this incredible Maine Hudson Trails program that wasn't going to open for the season in either 2019 or 2020. And Athletic donated $20,000 to open it for the summer.
Wow.
And it got like thousands of kids out on the trails that summer. And so
thank you.
It's a pretty cool program.
Teddy Roosevelt would be proud. That's great.
Mm-hmm. We're up to almost $5 million donated through that program now. And it's essentially on a $2 million per year run rate now.
You guys are only 6 years old. I can't believe you give back that much. Really impressive. And your name, Athletic.
Yep.
What's the inspiration there? I mean, again, is that a coincidence of you just being a big athlete growing up from Darien, the sports crazed town? Or
Pretty much everything in Athletic is authentic to my lifestyle, but Athletic was just meant to be a universally positive and aspirational word. Non-alcoholic beer had never been out of the penalty box before. And I had been in the crowded bar so many times trying to order a non-alcoholic beer, or at a group dinner trying to order a non-alcoholic beer. And you ask the waiter, waitress, or bartender, do you have any non-alcoholic beers? And it's just like the most awkward moment and the toughest bar call as they try to like scramble and think of it. And it was just so awkward. And athletic so easy.
Someone like you, you're like, have a non-alcoholic, and the bartender goes, hey, Joan, do we have any non-alcoholics? Like,
but I had that moment like hundreds of times. And I actually took inspiration from, I heard Sarah Blakely, who founded Spanx, speaking on a podcast. And if no one's ever listened to her, how I built this episode, it's incredible. And, but she had the insight of hard sounds at the end of a word make it really easy to cut through the noise of places and like really easy to remember and understand and everything. And so athletic had that.
Wow.
Interesting. You know, I have to ask the only kind of controversial-ish question I can think of. What about kids? Like, is this appropriate to market to kids?
We generally don't market to kids. And a lot of retailers have it hard-coded as beer, and we just don't fight that at all and let them card. And I think that's perfect. Generally, kids are fine and legal to drink non-alcoholic beer from any age. There's like 5 states where there is an age limit. But I generally think on college campuses, if kids are drinking non-alcoholic beer who are 18 and older, that's probably a positive relative to the alternative set. And generally, I don't think it's a big deal if people are drinking non-alcoholic beer in the presence of their company or if they would be drinking alcohol in other moments. I had, well, one good friend in high school had spent significant time in Europe growing up. And he just did not get our obsession with drinking. He was like, why do you guys think this is so cool? He's like, I drink also, but I drink like a couple of beers. And like,
because he grew up drinking like at a young age.
Yeah. So I think smoothing out the age curves, like around 21 and having supervised drinking, I think could even be a positive, but also not dying on that hill. So
I definitely remember sneaking out to my garage when I was like, I don't know, 11 years old and stealing my first beer and throwing that back and then being like, oh my gosh, I feel tipsy. And then my brother came in, saw the bottle. He's like, Lizzie, that's an O'Doul's. That's non-alcoholic. And I was like, I thought I was drunk. I got to give a fire round here. When you're done with your questions, I'm going to give a fire round of all sorts of your favorite bars and stuff when you're after.
I guess I have one last question, but I'm actually curious of like lifestyle because you are so healthy. You're doing it. And there was something you said that made me think, like, do you do anything else to achieve balance and peace in your life? Like meditation, yoga, anything like that?
Well, I'd always like to be healthier. I just love food. I basically work out so I can eat a ton of food. But I love working out. If I had it my way and I had enough time, I'd probably trail run for like 6 hours a day. But try to work out every day. I do try to, I've definitely, especially in this journey, in my financial life, I did wake up and check my cell phone immediately. I do try to meditate first thing in the morning and last thing at night. Kind of different things. Morning is goal oriented. Evening is more gratitude and like thanks and like recapping my day.
That's awesome.
Because I mean, we tend to just focus on like the worst part of our day and like carry that with us. And you may have had 3 awesome wins at 10 a.m. that you totally forgot about. And it's nice to reflect on that and kind of like put the day to bed. I've just tried to eat healthier over the years too. But yeah, meditation, I would say, is like my big mindfulness thing.
That's awesome.
I mean, you're speaking really
impressive. Yeah, really impressive. And yeah, I mean, I have one other serious question if you want to do the speed round.
No, ask him something serious. That's good.
Well, the big one is, would you entertain selling the company?
Oh my God, please say no. Sorry.
I'm sure you're getting bids. Honestly,
thinking more long-term than ever. Of course, we've had interest. And I think there's a lot of, I think selling companies doesn't have to be so black and white also. It can, there's like so many routes. It could be private for longer, but shareholders buy and sell. We've already had a fair amount of that, like shareholders buying and selling. So like in many people's eyes, like they've sold and had a great return. But it could be an IPO. It could be something else too. So, but honestly, we feel like we're just getting going. And I think once people realize like you don't need to like declare sobriety to drink great beer every night, 80% of our customers drink alcohol at other times. I think just logic would have it that such a big percentage base of drinking occasions is non-alcoholic versus alcohol. And like it was 0.3% of all beer when we started. It's just past 2% now. In the natural channel grocers like Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Sprouts, non-alcoholic beer is actually over 10% of the beer category. So if you look at that, that would actually point to a above $10 billion category over time, where it was like 80 million when we started. But at the end of the day, like most people are not drinking most of the time, but drink beverages all the time. So why wouldn't over time there be more non-alcoholic than alcoholic occasions? So that would point towards like a way bigger category over time. So
it's exciting.
Yeah, we feel like we're just laying the foundation of the company, and we're already looking at where's that next brewery for 2027 to 2035 production. So, yep.
Good for you. Well, keep it up. That's great. And Liz, go for it. I know you're psyched.
You know, I'm so excited. I could talk to you for hours, Bill. I'm going to come over.
Definitely nervous about the lightning round.
No. Nervous about the lightning round. All right, Bill. I'm going to give you a Darien lightning round. Throw off some, see how quickly you can think in your feet. Some of your favorite things here. Not favorite. I'm just going to do everything. Okay. What was your favorite place to hang growing up?
Middlesex Club in the summers growing up. I mean, we spent all day, every day there in the summers.
Okay.
I probably have to say that.
Favorite bar to go to nowadays in Darien?
Roe and Seafood just across the border?
Yeah, that counts. Yeah. What's the best date spot?
Maybe also we're eating seafood. We had a nice dinner at Seymour's the other day. Mm-hmm.
I got to check that out.
Yeah. What was the biggest party street as a kid?
Tough to say. Just very specific to my age group would be like Bridal Trail and Stephen Mather. We're pretty busy on weekends.
Okay. Favorite local celebrity?
Oh, wow. There's actually a surprising amount. I'd say in my grade specifically, Ryan Shannon, the NHL player, and Kate Bosworth, the actress, were both in my year specifically growing up.
Kate Bosworth went to Darien?
She went to middle school with us, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, she left, I think, in sixth grade. She was in The Horse Whisperer.
I had no idea.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, Scott Goodwin's on his way in the financial world, for sure, to being probably super famous, so.
I think you might have two of your next spokesman right there. We'll circle back on that. What do you think should be done with Great Island?
I think Todd's Point in Greenwich is a great example of what they could do with it. Just walking trails around the perimeter, usable space in the middle. But something that's pretty evergreen for the community.
Okay.
Maybe a boat launch too.
What's your opinion on the new Corbin District downtown?
Yeah, I generally think both the... So I don't know much about the Corbin District. The Darien Commons, I've like been to all those shops and stuff and know some people who live there. And I generally think it's good. It's like it's an approachable toehold for young people to move out of the city, or even before they move to the city, like get people out of college. I think it makes Darien more accessible probably. And it's exciting to have like more retail options, I think. So far the traffic seems very manageable and stuff. So
okay, yeah. Hit on the fragile points there. That's good. What advice would you give to new transplants coming out to Darien from New York City or anywhere else?
Yeah, I mean it's a great community. I think just meet people and like get to know the community and people and put yourself out there.
All right. What do you listen to when you run?
Just podcasts nonstop. I think it's
business like, ones, political ones, media ones, sports ones.
Never political. yeah, a lot of
good for you. That's why you're happy.
Business. I like the Founders podcast. I like Patrick O'Shaughnessy. I like local events podcasts like this one. Tim Ferriss, Rich Roll, keep me pretty busy.
Okay. Last question for you. What's one thing Darien should be doing that we're not right now?
I don't know about...
Drinking more non-alcoholic beer. That should be the answer. No, I'm kidding.
I think Darien kind of gives it its own name as a drinking town, but I think everywhere in the country is pretty much a drinking town. I don't know if Darien's necessarily like higher per capita really drinking, but I don't know if Darien is or isn't doing this. I think just leaning into what makes Darien great is like, it's a small community, but like a really strong community with a lot of great things going for it. You know, I've lived now in a few bigger towns like New York City and then in California, and you really don't know anyone, even in your building or anything. And coming back here, it is nice to know a fair amount of people. And yeah, the community structure growing up, like you kind of know everyone. So there's like a good value system. It's competition, but it's competition for a good reason. And like, I think a really strong community. So I think kind of playing positive sum games, like not over competing with each other, but working hard. But yeah, I think leaning into how great a community is, because it is unique. There aren't many towns this close to New York that are this small. So
we're glad you came back. Thank you.
Yeah. It was really fun to be here.
Thank you for doing this with us. Yeah, this is really exciting.
Yeah, can't say enough.
Quite a business. I mean, I'm in awe. Thank you for sharing your time with us, because I'm sure you had a lot of other important things to do tonight. But no, this is really great. So, I think the community is going to benefit.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, absolutely. We're just getting going and really appreciate the town's support too and what we've started.
Cool. Cheers, awesome. Bill.
Yeah, really nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
That was an awesome episode. It went where we didn't really plan, but really thanks to Bill for coming on. And for anyone who's drinking, not drinking, for whatever the reasons are, marathon training, trying to be healthy in general, I just love that Bill is giving us options out there. So yeah, thank you, Bill. And remember, please rate us and also follow us so you can get updates on our new releases. Thanks for listening.